calculate the chemical potential by constructing the grand canonical partition function. Right, so in the grand canonical ensemble, the quantities that you have under your control are temperature and chemical potential. Right, so in if it were a microcanonical ensemble and the energy was the internal energy, then the number of particles has to be held fixed and the entropy has to be held fixed. But those are hard conditions to achieve experimentally, so we transform to a Gibbs free energy. So first to the Helmholtz free energy where the temperature is held constant, and then to a Gibbs free energy where instead of holding the number constant, we hold the chemical potential constant. And if you want to right away construct the grand canonical partition function, it looks like this. And I'm constructing the grand canonical partition function just for the donor atoms in silicon. So I'm just considering the energy states of some donor atoms. And I sum over all the possible charge states. So there's the neutral one, there's it's ionized once, it could be ionized twice. The ion, it could be positively a positive ion or a negative ion. I sum over all those, and for every one of those charge states, there's an excitation spectrum Eij. So I sums over the excitation energies of the charge state J. And so the top line is just the definition of the grand canonical partition function. And the probability that the charge state J is occupied in any of its excited states then looks like this. You can calculate this probability. And then this charge neutrality condition that I used to calculate the chemical potential, where the left are the negative charges and right are the positive charges, that ends up looking like this. Here are the electrons in the conduction band, that's this formula. And then I sum over all the different kinds of dopants in the crystal. And I look at all of the negatively charged ones, so J is less than zero are the negatively charged ones. And I look at their concentration times the probability that they're occupied. And that gives me all the negatively charged dopants. And on the other side of there's a number of holes in the valence band, that's this formula, plus all of the positively charged ones. And if you make some approximations like the only relevant charge states for a donor are either uncharged or it loses its electron. Those are the only possibilities. And all of the excited states are irrelevant. Then you get the formulas that I showed before, the ones I had trouble with. And for acceptors, you do the same thing. You say that the only relevant charge states in this sum are the neutral state and accepting one electron. Those are the only two that are relevant, and for both of them you neglect all the excited states. Then you get the other formula for the number of acceptors. These two approximations are not always such good approximations, because when I showed the excitation spectrum, we looked at it for phosphorus, there was a ground state, and the first excited state was 10 millielectron volts above the ground state. And that will tell you at room temperature that the first excited state is occupied. But all of this was worked out in the 1950s when they had no computers, and they said, no, forget it. And it was just much easier to work with just the ground state. And it's really a matter of mathematical convenience that people don't go back and use more sophisticated expression there. But the ones that I showed are the ones that are almost always used. Okay. You could do this to be more exact.